This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Now, bismillah ta'ala, we'll be discussing the revelation of the Quran. As we know, the Quran was revealed over a period of 23 years. That the Quran started 13 years before the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the age of 40. And the Quran ended 9 days prior to the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the age of 63. So there were 13 years of revelation in Mecca and 10 years of revelation in Medina. Now, a common question asked is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal the Quran over a period of 23 years? This is a question that the companions used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even the Quraysh, they used to rebuke the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for not having the Quran revealed in one attempt. Whereas the Torah and the Injil, they were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one flow, in one stance, at one time. That the whole books were revealed at one time. Whereas the Quran was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over a period of 23 years. One of the real wisdoms behind this and one of the reasons behind this, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself mentions, is so that he may increase the resolve of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَرَتَّلْنَاهُ تَرْتِيلًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions over here that those people who have disbelieved said that only if the Quran was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at one time. And the hidden meaning over here is that had it been revealed at one time, we would have believed him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the reason why we did this, كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, that we did this so that we may establish your heart firmly. We may establish and keep firm your belief and resolve. And thus we recited the Quran in a melodious or a constant recitation. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So the first reason or the first wisdom behind the Quran being revealed over a period of 23 years is to increase the resolve of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is something which can be understood through human nature, that when you get small dosages of reminders, it serves as a better reminder than something that is given to you at one time. An example being, if I was to give you a whole book at one time, compare that to if I was to read you a chapter by chapter basis. The chapter by chapter basis would be more appropriate as you're being reminded of what's in it from each class to the next. Whereas if I was to discuss, let's just say, a whole book at one time, it defeats the purpose, or it's not as appropriate as doing it bit by bit. Because you all have it all at one time, and once you lose it, you would have forgotten it. Whereas something that's done constantly and consistently, then this serves as a better reminder and becomes more established. Take the example again of memorizing. When you memorize something, the first time you read something, you can't memorize it. But if you read something over and over again, over a period of time, it is a lot easier to memorize and to understand. So thus, with every Ramadan that passed, Jibreel alayhi salam read the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and likewise the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam read the Quran to Jibreel, that everything that was revealed from in that time frame, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would recite back to Jibreel. So thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established the Quran in the heart and in the memory of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is actually two reasons in one. That the first one being it increased the resolve of the Prophet, meaning that he was always reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and was always reminded that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be with him, and that he doesn't need to worry about the planning and plotting of the Quraysh, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect him from it. And likewise, the second reasoning behind it is that it simplifies the memorization and understanding of the Quran, not only for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but for the companions as well. For when they learned the Quran, they learned it directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the first years of the revelation of the Quran was memorized. It wasn't written down right away. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the advent of Islam, he only had, you know, three or four companions with him. Right when the Quran was first revealed, we know the famous story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being in the cave of Hira. Right, this is when the revelation first came down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first person he went and told to was Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Right, and you know the Quran wasn't preserved in a written form, but rather as more companions accepted Islam and there were companions who knew how to read and write, then they started scribing the Quran. So thus, you know, it became a lot easier for the companions. But when the Quran was revealed bit by bit over a period of 23 years, it became a lot easier for them to memorize and understand the Quran. Thirdly, it proves the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, how does it prove the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Well, we mentioned previously that the people would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they would ask him various questions, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would refrain from asking, would refrain from answering these questions until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed something to him. An example of this, an example proving the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the story of the woman who came complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look at the 58th surah of the Quran, the very first verse, which is Surah Al-Mujadalah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has heard the statement of the one who complains to you. Right? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates the scenario or the revelation of this ayah, and she says that a woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and sat next to him and whispered something to him. And I, being in the other room, trying to hear from behind the curtain, could not hear what she was saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heard it from the skies. So again, this proves the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed revelation at the same time as this woman came complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is just an example of that. Fourthly, to prove the miraculous nature of the Quran. As you know, that the Quran is something for all times. That even though the Quran was revealed at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are certain aspects of the Quran which are just becoming known to mankind now. Like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He created man from water, as biological studies progress, man soon discovered that 70% of his body is made out of water, or 90% of his body is made out of water. So thus we see that the Quran, it affirmed such things. And likewise, the miraculous nature of the Quran in terms of its preservation, that over 23 years not a single letter of the Quran was lost. Even the revelation came down one after another, and even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not read or write, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved the Quran. And fifthly, and this is something very, very important, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the laws of Islam, revealed the regulations of Islam, or what we call the Sharia, in a gradual manner. Because as we know, the people of the past, and likewise the disbelievers of today, they have very bad habits, and they have illicit habits which are against Islam, the likes of drinking and fornication. Now imagine when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with his da'wah, and this da'wah of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and having good morals and good conduct. Had he prevented the people from drinking and abstaining from these illicit desires, a lot of people would have left Islam. So in the infinite wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take the example of the prohibition of alcohol. It came in three main stages. That you were, firstly, they were allowed to drink alcohol, and they were asked, you know, just to reduce it. Then they were asked not to drink alcohol prior to coming to Salah. And then thirdly, the ayat came down where alcohol was prohibited altogether. That even those companions who were drinking at that time when the ayat was revealed, they spit it out of their mouth. So thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite wisdom and His infinite knowledge, He prolonged the revelation of the Quran to make it easier for mankind, that the regulations of Islam not be enforced altogether at one time. So these are some of the wisdoms behind the gradual revelation of the Quran over a period of 23 years. Now we come to the topic of discussion. What was the first revelation that was sent to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In this there are four opinions, and we will discuss them one by one bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. If you look in Sahih al-Bukhari, the very first chapter that Imam al-Bukhari has, he has al-Kitab Babu Bada al-Wahi, that the beginning of revelation. And in this he mentions two main hadith. The first one is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was the first surah revealed to him were the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq. That the first five verses, as you all know, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, in the 96th surah of the Quran. This was the first revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he was in the cave of Hira. That this was when Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and told him to recite, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I am unable to recite. And then Jibreel hugged him and held him close, and he said, recite in the name of the one who created you, or in the name of your Lord. And then he taught him these first five ayat. So this is what Imam al-Bukhari narrates from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in the first hadith. And in the second hadith, or the second main hadith that Imam al-Bukhari mentions, is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It's where one of his students came up to Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he asked, what was the first revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? To which Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, it is Surah Al-Muddathir, meaning that the one who is wrapped in garments. So these are two main opinions found in hadith themselves, mentioned in Bukhari, and there's no doubt to their authenticity. The third opinion is that it is Surah Al-Fatiha, and this is in a hadith found in the Sunan of Al-Bayhaqi, that he mentions that the first surah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Al-Fatiha. And then the fourth opinion, and this is not found in any of the books of hadith, but rather is found in a book that discusses the reasons of revelation. And we mentioned that Ulum al-Qur'an, it wasn't a science discussed altogether in one book at its early stages, but rather scholars would discuss each science in an individual book. So there was a famous compiler by the name of Al-Wahidi who compiled a book on Asbab al-Nuzul. And in it he mentioned that the first revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the Basmala. That Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was the first revelation given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But again, this is another weak hadith. So now, ruling out all the weak hadith, which are opinions 3 and 4, which are Surah Al-Fatiha and the Basmala, we are left with two main opinions. How do we reconcile between these two hadith? The statement of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, where she is describing how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the cave of Hira, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was approached by Jibreel and told to recite, and then the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq were revealed to him. And then the statement of Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he, when he was asked what was the first revelation, he said that the first revelation was Surah Al-Muddathir. This can be approached by two ways. One is by way of a hadith. that if one were to compile all of the ahadith together pertaining to these two scenarios, meaning the Prophet ﷺ being in the cave of Hira and this hadith of Jabir, one of the narrations of the hadith of Jabir mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognized Jibreel from his previous approach, meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Surah Al-Muddathir was revealed to him, he recognized Jibreel from his first encounter with him. So this proves that Surah Al-Muddathir was in actuality was revealed later than Surah Al-Alaq, or the first five verses of Surah Al-Alaq. So this is by way of hadith, meaning that it is affirmed in one of the narrations of Jabir that he recognized, that the Prophet ﷺ recognized Jibreel from one of the previous revelations. Now, a logical way of explaining this is that if you look at the text at hand, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, it mentions that Jibreel came to the Prophet ﷺ and told him to recite, and Surah Al-Alaq, or the first five verses, were revealed to him. And what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He thereafter ran home to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he covered himself in a garment. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to as Al-Muddathir and as Al-Muzammil. Al-Muddathir, the one who covers himself in a garment, and Al-Muzammil, the one who envelops himself in a garment. So obviously something would have occurred prior to this, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have covered or engulfed himself in this garment. And that is that Surah Al-Alaq was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became frightened, and thus he went home to Khadija and sought solace in her and covered himself with these garments. Another way of reconciling them is that the first revelation was Surah Al-Alaq, meaning the first five verses. But the first complete surah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Surah Al-Muddathir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And you know, I don't find any room for doubt that Surah Al-Alaq was the first revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, what was the last revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And this is where a lot of difference of opinion occurs, not only amongst the people, but amongst the scholars of Ulum al-Quran as well. And there are a lot of conflicting reports, you know, or seemingly conflicting reports. Before actually studying the sciences of the Quran, a lot of people are under the impression that the last verse revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum, or the famous verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah. A lot of people think this, that this is the last verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, how today I have completed your religion for you, that this is the last verse revealed. But if one was to think about this from a logical perspective, when was this hadith, when was this ayah revealed? It was revealed during the farewell pilgrimage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was several months prior to the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And prior to the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Surah An-Nasr was revealed. So obviously there is automatically a revelation even after this ayah. So this misconception that people have that Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Dinakum is the last revelation is nothing but a misconception, and there's no actual textual evidence for this. So let us take the various opinions bit by bit. There are altogether, I think, about 19 different opinions on this. Inshallah, we'll take about 5 or 6 of them due to the time that we have. So the first opinion, and we'll start off with the opinion that we deem closest to the truth, is what is mentioned by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam al-Tabari, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, that they narrate from Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah, that he narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived for 9 nights after the descent of this ayah, and that is ayah 281 of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fear the day that you shall return to Allah, and then every man shall be given his due rights, or everything that he has earned, and no injustice shall be done to him. So obviously the context of this ayah supports this opinion as well, that the last ayah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is he's reminded of the day that not only he himself but mankind will be returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the context of the ayah supports this as well. So this is what Ibn Abbas mentions in Sahih al-Bukhari and in the tafsir of Imam al-Tabri, meaning that Imam al-Tabri deemed this opinion to be the most correct, that this was the last ayah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another ayah, also mentioned by Al-Bukhari, is that they narrate from Ibn Abbas that the last ayah revealed was the ayah of interest, or the ayah to riba, which is number 278 in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى. That all you who believe, fear Allah and abstain from that which is left over from interest, meaning that unlawful wealth that you have obtained, abstain from that which is left over from it. So this is narrated from Ibn Abbas in Sahih al-Bukhari as well. And again, we'll explain how to understand these various narrations where Ibn Abbas mentions that this was the last ayah revealed, as you will see quite a few of them. A third opinion is mentioned by Imam al-Tabari as well, where he narrates from Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib that the final ayah revealed was the ayah to Dain, or the ayah of loans. And this is ayah number 282 of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ. That all you who believe that if you take a loan from one another, then you know, have witnesses, and basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us how to form a contract. A fourth opinion is that, this is also mentioned by Al-Bukhari and Al-Muslim, that the last ayah revealed was the ayah of what they call Al-Kalala, meaning that in the laws of inheritance, when you have a person who has no progeny and no relatives left after him, what does he do in such a situation? And this is ayah number 176 from Surah An-Nisa. And likewise, Al-Hakim, one of the collectors of Hadith, he mentions that the last ayah revealed from Ubay ibn al-Ka'b was the last ayah of Surah At-Tawbah, meaning ayahs 128 and 129, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, till the end of the surah. So these are five famous opinions, and like you mentioned, there are many opinions of this. From them is that the last ayah revealed was the last ayah of Surah Al-Kahf, and likewise the last ayah revealed was Surah Al-Ma'idah. This is a general statement from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, mentioned by At-Tirmidhi. So again, there are many opinions, but how do we reconcile all of these opinions? The way to reconcile all of these opinions is that each time we find a companion or a mufassir saying that this was the last ayah revealed, he was referring to a particular scenario or a particular situation. Like one of the examples that we didn't mention is the hadith of Umm Salamah radiallahu ta'ala anha, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran ayah 195, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى. But she never said this was the last ayah revealed. So when she mentioned this, she mentioned it as that this was the last ayah revealed pertaining to the equity between men and women, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats both men and women justly. And then you have the statements of Ibn Abbas that the last ayah revealed was the ayah of interest. What we understand from this, that this was the last ayah revealed pertaining to business transactions. And then we have the statement of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that the last ayah revealed was Surah Al-Ma'idah, meaning that the last of the ahkam that were revealed, or the last of the rulings and regulations revealed, were from that of Surah Al-Ma'idah. So this is how you reconcile all the statements. But without a doubt, if one was to reflect upon the statement of Ibn Abbas, where he said that only 9 days passed until the death of the Prophet ﷺ at the descent of this ayah, it seems very, very clear that this was the last ayah revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was the first opinion that we mentioned, which was ayah 281 from Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. So these are the first and last revelations that were given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now let us take a look at some of the facts of the Quran. And this is something actually, you know, that you can use in your quizzes, that you can teach your children, keep them entertained, and you know, just to keep them busy in research projects and stuff. We'll go over through some of the facts that are in the Quran. And what we mean by that are usually numerical facts or things of that nature. So firstly, we'll start with the number of verses in the Quran. The number of verses in the Quran with consensus, without a shadow of a doubt, is 6,236. There are 6,236 verses of the Quran. And you will see why I mention this by ijma or by consensus of the scholars. Because there's a disagreement as to the number of letters in the Quran. And we will explain that shortly as well. As for the number of words in the Quran, then there are 77,437. 77,437. Now one day, you know, when you're really, really upset at your children and you just, you know, want to keep them busy for a good couple of days, ask them to count the number of letters in the Quran. They'll be busy for a month. So now the number of letters in the Quran, and this is where the difference of opinion actually occurs. Now let us explain why this difference of opinion actually occurs. For those of you who know the Arabic language, one of the most common words that we recite is the basmala. We say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now when you recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, look at how the word ar-Rahman is written. You write ar-Rahman, alif lam, then the ra, the ha, the mim, and the noon. But when you pronounce it, you pronounce it with an alif between the mim and the noon. Whereas when you look at the Mus'haf itself and you look at the Quran, it's actually not mentioned over there. So now the scholars differed that, you know, this is the Uthmanic way of writing the Quran, or what is also known as the Qurashi style of writing the Quran. That if there was an alif between letters, they would join the two letters and just put a line over there, or just leave it blank, as it was understood that they were to pronounce the alif in between. Should we count this alif as a letter or not? So this is where the difference of opinion occurred. So that's why you'll find in you know, some books of Ulum al-Quran, they'll mention a number higher or lower. But the most common number that is mentioned in the books of Ulum al-Quran is 323,671. This is the most common number mentioned. That's 323,671. These are the amount of letters in the Quran. And this is reading the Quran just as it is, not including the alif. If you include the alif, then you get a higher number. And it's also other letters as well. So again, repeating that, it's 323,671. Now, what is the longest surah in the Quran? The longest surah in the Quran is Surah Al-Baqarah. The shortest surah in the Quran is Surah Al-Kawthar. It has the least amount of verses, the least amount of words, and the least amount of letters as well. Now, the longest verse of the Quran is the Ayat al-Dayn, or what they call the Ayah of the Debt, which was again one of the opinions that one of the last ayahs revealed. And this is Ayah 282 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, as for the shortest ayah, not including the ayats of letters, you'll notice that in the Quran, certain ayats, they begin with letters like Alif Lam Mim or Alif Lam Ra. These are known as the muqatti'at, or those which are cut up and divided. So not including these types of verses, the shortest verses are Wal Fajr Wal Duha. These are two different surahs and two different ayats. One says Wal Fajr and the other one says Wal Duha. Both of these have six letters each. Now, as for the longest word in the Quran, then this is mentioned in Surah Al-Hijr, ayah number 22, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمُوهُ. That, and again, this isn't actually a word, but it's the longest sequence in the Quran of letters that produces a word, whereas in English it's actually considered a sentence. That we have granted you something to drink. Well, that's how you would translate it as. And this has a total of 11 letters in it. So this is the longest word in the Quran. Now, the shortest word in the Quran. Anyone have an idea what the shortest word is? Alif? No, that's not a word, it's a letter. Wa. Wa is the shortest word in the Quran. It can be translated as and. Now, what is the first commandment in the Quran? What is the first order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives? This is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 21, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "U'budu rabbakum," that and worship your Lord. "Alladhi khalaqakum walladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun." That in the 21st ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "And worship your Lord." And what is the first prohibition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives? Or the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to stay away from? Those of you who attended my class on the four principles that we did over here a couple of years ago would remember this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to stay away from creating partners or associates with him. And this is the verse right after the first commandment. So first commandment and first prohibition go hand in hand. And this is ayah number 22 of Surah Al-Baqarah. So first commandment is worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the second first prohibition right after it is stay away from creating rivals for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And don't make rivals for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you are in a state of knowing. So these are just some random facts pertaining to the Quran, which again, you know, like I said, you can use them for quizzes, and it's just good for general knowledge to have that you can entertain yourselves with and, you know, go over and keep memorized. And it's important to know some of these things, especially the verses of the Quran. You know, someone tries to introduce a verse in the Quran and you've counted all the verses and you have already reached 6,236, you can say that no, this is not a verse from the Quran, and the likes of that. So this knowledge is important as well as entertaining at the same time. So bismillah ta'ala, I think with that we'll get back on to our normal schedule, which is we'll take a break from 4:30 until 5 o'clock bismillah ta'ala. So this break you can get something to drink, something to eat, or you know, just relax and stretch out, and bismillah ta'ala we'll continue our discussion on the sciences of the Quran thereafter, inshallah. So we'll start again at 5 o'clock bismillah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.